You know what that music means? It means it's Friday.
Yay.
Yay.
I'm actually really, hey, with all the launches coming out this, yeah, like the rest of this year, enjoy this weekend because it's the only one you're getting.
I know. I'm not even getting, because we have I have to edit a video about, you know, so.
No, you can say it. Everyone knows that Monday is 7000 series CPU launch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then we had to switch gears and get that video out for you guys today that we just launched. So yeah.
That video is a few days late, but I have to stagger my content. Unless it's just something like really major, I would never do a same day, like two uploads in a day.
Yeah.
Like, unless it's like CES or something like that.
Yeah. We're reviewing motherboards in
bed. But then if you were to add together the average like video length of CES or something like that, like the same day uploads and smoosh them all together, it'd be as long as our regular like feature length content.
Yeah. Like I remember CES stuff being like 2 to 5 minutes.
Yeah. Like if we made like a 10-minute CES video, we're like, whoa, what happened there?
Nagashi says, Phil, I hope you've shown Jade Trombone Champ. Yes, he saw me playing it yesterday and he streamed it yesterday.
I almost beat the game yesterday.
Yeah, he got that into it. I've only beat like 5 songs.
I only found out about it because Jatman, the enemy, is like, hey, just you should thank Phil for getting Jay into the Trombone Champ because now he's streaming
He texted me. He texted me. He was like, you think I should stream it? And before I could even say yes, he was like, I'm streaming it. I was like, dude, yes, thank you.
It was such a change of pace. And the game has a lot of charm.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
And the whole game is 346 megabytes.
Yeah.
So
I know when I downloaded it here, I was like, I hit
install. I bought it, $15. It's actually kind of expensive. What it is, but
I don't know. I think that's the best $15 I spent on Steam. I've spent worse. $15.
I clicked purchase, and then I clicked install content, and then I was like, did it not go? And I clicked it again, and it was like, your content's already installed. I'm like, what?
Do you
still
have that pop-up that at the end that's like, you can now install your games, or you can now play your games, or whatever. And it's like, y'all, before you close the pop-up, it's already installed.
Yeah. So. It was so fast. I mean, literally, because of my connection, it probably took me 2 seconds to download it.
It honestly took longer to unzip it for Steam than it did to download it.
Yeah. That's anyway, funny. Guys, it's September 23rd, 2022. Thanks for hanging out with us. Don't forget, our Dad Bod shirts are available. By the way, our shirts are going to be coming soon. Because we have a new handler. Normally, we have a new shirt design. They would just send us our shirts because they know our sizes.
Yeah.
Only that they didn't
know. Oh, yeah.
So it's fine. There's plenty. But yeah, it's kind of trying not to go too deep on any of the topics today. We just want to have fun, kind of be lighthearted. I'm drinking near beer. Actually, it's Corona, but it's still near beer.
You want as long as it's Corona.
I thought about grabbing the Elijah Craig or the Old Forester, but literally immediately after the show, my wife and I are going on a much needed date night.
Family.
So I'm going to save the alcohol for later.
Family. Salute me, familia.
You can have anything you want as long as it's a Corona.
Yo, why is the Buster here?
The Buster brought me back.
That one's Vince's. Better enjoy it.
I like the tuna here.
Make your own damn popcorn. Fast and Furious quotes never get old.
Oh my god. We should do a watch party.
How many
movie.
Times have we said that?
I know.
Would you get drunk and do a watch party?
Yeah, but we've been saying it for like
we could just leave it muted.
Oh yeah.
We know the script by now.
I'll do the sound effects. Yeah. You guys do the
or
dialogue.
We stream it on like my channel where it's not monetized, it doesn't matter. Then you just redirect everybody. Yeah, you could just host it on your that'd be great.
Twitch is on fire. I don't know what that means.
Oh yeah, because of the that wasn't even a topic, but yeah, the remember the rev share cut that they did or whatever?
The 50-50?
Yeah, like a bunch of people are like I think leaving it for YouTube or something.
But the rev share was always 50-50.
No, they made it worse. Like I saw a tweet that was like one guy was like, oh, my only thing that I got for being loyal to Twitch for 6 years was a pay cut. So I think something worse happened than 50-50.
I haven't gotten any emails. 60-40. I mean, I am a partner, but I'm wondering if this is an affiliate versus partner thing.
Maybe.
Because I
mean, if I got a streamer for 6 years though, then I think it's something to do with like it only affects you if you make over 100K on Twitch.
Oh, so you make so much, we need to take more of it.
Yeah,
basically.
Something like that. Yeah.
Where they, by you making more, Twitch makes more.
Yeah.
Just like on YouTube, if we make more, they make more.
Yeah.
You know, I think the.
I don't know. I didn't look up any specifics, so don't quote me on that.
Yeah,
don't,
I believe the YouTube. I believe that on YouTube it's a 60-40. I believe so.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure. Anyway, yeah, let's go and get right into the show. We got some good stuff for you here. Like I said, jcsense.com, the merch helps the channel and all that sort of stuff. If you want to write us later in the show, we do have a section called FTFA, which is from the freaking audience, because remember, RTFM stands for Read the Freaking Manual. Mm-hmm. And you guys can write us, and if your topics are interesting, we will add them to the following week's show. So here we go. Let's go ahead and kick it off. Phil wants to do nerd talk.
Yeah,
he's a nerd.
Well, I mean, we usually
It's obvious because he has the glasses.
Duh.
I can only say that because probably by the next few weeks, I'll be wearing my glasses.
You should... Oh, that's going to be interesting. I honestly,
you've never had to account for lens glare in our videos, but you might have to start.
Yeah.
Time to bust out the circular polarizer.
I know, right? We're gonna get a polarizer. Well, I wanted to start off with a piece of tech, but usually we kind of try to avoid tech. But this is a very expensive piece of tech. Not a 4090. More expensive. And it's about 1,000,000 miles away floating in space. And I just wanted to nerd out about the James Webb Space Telescope because
Can I comment on the first stat you just said? It's about 1,000,000 miles away.
Yeah.
So many people, that's only about four times the distance of the moon from us, by the way. And the fact that so many people like go, it's so far away. And it's like, it's 1/95th the distance of the sun to us.
Yeah. Yeah. But so it's also like, still stupid far away though.
All you have to do is get away from all of our pollution and then you can see so much farther.
Cause like the scariest, okay. The thing that everyone was crossing their fingers about was, you know, when it was out on its way out there and it was unfolding and doing its thing.
Yeah.
Because unlike the Hubble, which is chilling really close to the Earth, like, you can't send a person 1,000,000 miles away to go fix something.
Well, sure you can, but it's a one-way trip.
Yeah, it's just...
Literally trained for this, how this would one you, thing like, in life.
Dude, the ethics of that, man.
Haven't you seen Gravity? Of course you can have a person floating around in space.
She made it back. But yeah,
if Hollywood's taught me anything, is anything's possible.
Yeah, including bringing
including that, landing dude, on an asteroid.
Wait, what's up with Matt drilling Damon a nuke always needing it. To get saved? Like the Martian. And then Interstellar, he was also like on a planet stranded. It's like, dude, stop sending
maybe
Matt Damon
it's a
to
help
space.
Maybe it's a help sign for his career. I don't know.
He was better stealing Matt than Damon. Being science.
Matt Damon.
But yeah, no, I mean, I was recently watching some science YouTube stuff about the telescope, and it just tripped me out because like a lot of the stuff that I was learning, I was like, we've had experience with this stuff, like the heat shield itself. Like to start with that, right? It's made of Kapton tape, which blew my mind because you've seen that tape in like laptops and stuff, right? The little yellow stuff. But obviously, that doesn't reflect heat; it's transparent. So they had to add a 0.1 micron or 100 nanometer thick aluminum coating to it, which is like already insane. Like, think about tearing that on accident. And then, like, obviously, you know cameras, right? Like, when they're shooting infrared, it has to be cryogenically cooled. So, like, we've worked with liquid nitrogen before. That's mm-hmm. about 196, minus 196 degrees Celsius. The operating temp of that sensor is 7 degrees above ambient zero, which is minus 266.
That's cold.
That's
we should overclock with it,
dude. Yeah, I mean, we could go get liquid helium. I don't know how long it would last. It would probably boil off so much faster.
No, yeah. The problem is like even with most overclocking, like the actual temperature of liquid nitrogen, because it's always going to be higher when it's absorbing heat, but it's too cold.
And then like, for the audience that are like just like obviously because we're in America, right? Like that's 158 degrees Fahrenheit colder than the liquid nitrogen we use for that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The actual liquid, not just the temperature of the CPU, the actual stuff that we're pouring that like you can't really like you have to be safe with and stuff.
You can handle insane. It for a few moments. Like,
yeah,
you know, just don't cup your hand. Don't make a bowl. Okay, pour it in my hand now.
What was it like? Vince said that like it's like you can splash it on yourself, and that's safer than if it splashes
because the Leidenfrost effect keeps a barrier between your skin and the Ellen too.
That always blew my mind.
It just feels prickly.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when you go, and you pour it on your hand, and then it bounces off the floor into your shoe or your sock.
You got some in your sock, that one stream, right? I saw him jumping around, running around. it's burning me.
Yeah, when it's so cold, it's described as burning.
Yeah, and then think about the fact that that's, like, the stuff they're using is 70 degrees colder than that, Celsius. It's like, that's like a whole Threadripper rendering colder. Like, oh my god, it blows my mind. And then the mirror is plated in gold 100 nanometers thick, which is like...
Wow.
It's just... Because obviously the weight, right?
Gold I was going to say, yeah.
Gold is pretty heavy, but they used gold.
I've only seen the animation of it unfolding, but it looks so delicate. It's just like...
I know, dude. Like a scratch...
How many holes do you think are in that now?
a few, but yeah. The crazy thing is the mirror can focus itself. That was the whole point, because they were like, no, we don't want another Hubble incident where, you know, we accidentally made the mirror nearsighted.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You heard about that, yeah, right? Yeah, you heard about that. So, like,
it was a mathematical error, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or a calibration equipment error. But yeah, the Hubble Space Telescope ended up being nearsighted, so they had to give it contact lenses. That's the TLDR of it, basically. They pulled out one instrument, they slapped in a corrective optic, and then it literally gave it contact lenses. But yeah, like
that's how optics work.
The fact that the mirror, each mirror has like a motor system that can kind of bend it and tilt it in different ways, and the increments are 1/10,000th of a human hair.
Jeez.
In any direction and dimension, because like, and so that's how they're focusing it. They're focusing it to within one wavelength of the light that they're capturing.
Wow.
And then I think the most mind-blowing fact to me that I like remembered from that stuff was that, because like obviously we all work with cameras.
Chat's commenting on how bored Nick looks.
This is my default phase.
Yeah. So, no. Someone came to your defense and said, this is how Nick always looks. Hey, Nick, I'm giving you a raise.
Cool. Cool.
Drink every time I laugh and drink every time Nick looks bored or sad.
No one will survive. Yeah, no one will survive.
Speaking of Trombone Champ, last night in my stream, somebody said an awesome drinking game would be you have to take a shot for
every time the note makes you laugh.
If you get an S, you don't have to take one. If you get an A, it's one. B, it's two. C, it's three.
Honestly, I think the grading system's too easy, though, because it's like you could still make it sound pretty crappy and get an S. I think you should drink every time the note makes you laugh.
Oh, God.
But yeah.
Because the more drunk you get, the more you'll laugh.
Exactly.
And then the more you're like,
that's exactly why I want to play Trombone Champ drunk.
First person. We wish there was multiplayer on that.
I know. They need a whole trombone section.
No, they need to have Trombone Champ, Drumming Champ, Trumpet Champ, Flute Champ.
Flute Champ.
You mean Marching Band Hero?
No, Marching Band Champ, dude. You can't use Hero.
Oh, yeah, Marching Band
I get to throw the baton if we're in a band.
Oh, my God. Color Guard Champ.
Doll Flag Champ.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, this is like back to the telescope.
It was related.
Yeah, it was related.
Brass looks like gold.
I think.
which looks like foil.
Like. The most mind-blowing thing to me is the sensitivity of the sensor, because we've obviously dealt with like low light stuff, right? They said, one photon a second.
Wow.
One photon a second. Not like one fucking, like not...
That's very long. That's very long exposure.
I know, right? And then it said it's sensitive enough to detect like one of those Indiglo night lights, you know, the ones that you like plug in, on the moon from the Earth's surface.
Dude,
they should do it.
I know. Yeah,
wait, would it prove it?
They turn it around, it just immediately blows out the sensor.
Prove it. No, I mean, just build another one on Earth, pointed at the moon. Someone, come on, Tesla, you already landed shit on the moon, so just throw a night light up there or whatever, know, right? And a little glow stick, and let's see it.
Yeah, they already yeeted that roadster to Mars or into the solar orbit or whatever.
God, they can't fulfill orders, but they can sure as heck like launch them into space.
To be fair, it was a first-gen roadster. Nobody cares about those.
That's the one everyone pre-ordered.
That was the... No, it was the Lotus one. The one that they borrowed the Lotus chassis for before, like, back when they first started the company.
Still, nobody's gotten one yet.
They got those. The people that bought those are the ones that funded the Model S, basically.
You're telling me there's actually Tesla Roadsters out there?
Yeah, this new one that's coming out is the second Roadster.
I've never seen one, so it doesn't exist.
Sucks. Get better eye. Maybe it's because you need glasses.
I've never seen a Roadster in the wild, but I've seen quite a few Plaids.
You probably just thought it was an Elise, because
No, I would look and I would notice.
They bought the white body chassis or whatever.
I would notice the emblem. The Tesla emblem, trust me.
Well, it wasn't an emblem back then. It just said Tesla, where it used to say Elise, and it's the same amount of characters.
Did it say Elise or Lotus?
Lotus. Tesla, they have the same amount of letters.
Yeah.
I think that's why the Tesla logo, like the word one, is spread out like that, because of the Lotus.
What I love, though, regarding the James Webb photos, especially the first one that showed all the galaxy clusters.
Oh, yeah, when they
and
shot...
And it's like, what did they say? Like, if you were to take that portion of the sky...
Hold it at arm's length. It's the size of a grain of sand.
That's the size of a grain of the size of a grain of sand covering that much of the sky.
Yeah. So like, think about that. You look up in the sky, do that, and then think of a grain of sand at the end of your finger. That's how zoomed in it is.
Yeah.
Haters will say it's photoshopped.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people think it looks fake
because
of one, the bloom, but that's because of the amount of mirrors.
The mirrors plus the arms in the way and stuff like that.
Right, and then also the saturation of it. But that's because you're seeing all the different frequency of light.
Yeah, it's shooting infrared, so you have to just give each portion of infrared a color.
Right.
So you just get to pick what color you want it.
Yeah, but it looks like a rendering.
Yeah. But I mean, those colors are useful to scientists that know what to do with like specific wavelengths of whatever, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah, do you think JWST is going to be one of the like engineering marvels of our lifetime?
I think so. I genuinely think
because Hubble took place way before, like we were like, well, you guys weren't even born yet. Right? Wasn't it like the 80s?
Yeah, 80s, I think. Yeah.
Early 80s?
I don't remember. Chad,
I was born in 81, so I get two in my lifetime.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the crazy thing is the Hubble's still working, too. I mean, yeah. Like, we still use it for a lot of stuff.
I love how it was the Hubble was definitely an engineering marvel, and all we're doing now is showing Hubble how dumb it is now.
I was going to say that because you brought up that first picture that it shot of the Hubble Deep Field, and I was like, that's kind of like a dick move to shoot the exact same thing.
It's a bad word.
You said shit earlier.
But that's not the D word. It,
I know. Whatever. Nick's not near the Nerf gun, so whatever.
1990? That doesn't sound right.
I'm right there, dude.
That doesn't sound right.
Farther away than your arms.
1990 is when Hubble
came out? I know you're
not
going to get
up. Oh, people are saying 90s. Okay, so you guys also got to enjoy Hubble.
I mean, I was two. I didn't really enjoy the launch.
No, I said in our lifetime. I didn't say in our conceivable lifetime. I said in our lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember some of the...
It's inconceivable!
Actually, the Hubble Space Telescope.
We could appreciate it because it happened in our timeline.
Exactly. Your little... I wouldn't even say a blip. We don't even show up as blips in the length of time.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
I think that's the craziest thing. That's what really blew my mind because you know, I've only this year started really kind of paying attention to like, hey, you know what? There's stuff outside our atmosphere. It's kind of cool. Because
I don't just shut up about it.
But to go like, those lights we're seeing through the telescopes, because we can't see the galaxies with our bare eyes here with all the light pollution we have.
That'd be sick.
Is we're looking like millions and millions and millions of years in the past, like hundreds of millions of years in the past.
That you should tell them about like how
like earlier I mentioned, like, do you think there's other people looking at our spec saying, I wonder if there's life out there? And Phil was like, if they are, they're seeing back when we were like primordial ooze tadpoles.
Yeah, we were like, they're probably looking at that like, oh, that'll never evolve. Let's skip that part. Let's not warp over there. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Like I said, I showed my 7-year-old Space Engine. And then she was like, because she asked me once, she's like, just randomly on the way home from like soccer practice, she goes, hey, Dad, did you know that the size of the Earth compared to our galaxy is just a teeny tiny little speck? And I was like, yeah, I can show you that. She's like, what?
I said, that coincidence.
Yeah, I
so
said,
much.
Yeah, I have an app, a game. I can show you that. She's like, cool. So I showed her. I'm like, here's the Earth. And I zoomed out. I was like, here's the moon. And she's like, wow. And we're like moving it around. Then the sun came on and it's the HDR monitor. So she was like, wow. You know, because the sun, I have HDR on, right?
We were playing it on the BFGD over here.
The 65 HD or monitor. So I said, okay, now let's zoom out to our solar system. And you could tell she didn't really, like, with all the other stuff visible, she couldn't really picture the solar system because she can't see the orbit circles. She's so used to seeing the orbit circles in books and stuff, right?
Right. Mm.
I said, so this little area, this is our little neighborhood. And I said, and then I zoomed out more. And then more and more, and then she saw how like we were just like on the very edge of one of the arms of the Milky Way.
Yeah.
And she was like, holy cow. And I said, yeah, do you want to go to another galaxy? She's like, sure. So we just started jumping like to the Andromeda and then
our neighborhood.
Super far away, right? And then it re-exposed for all the galaxies. And she saw it looked like a sandbox of dots. And she was like, oh my goodness. And I said, okay, we're gonna go to that one right there. Ready? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, we're gonna go to the speed of light. Are you ready? She's like, okay. And I went, okay, here we go.
And it's just
nothing's moving. Yep. And she's like, she looks at the keyboard, she looks at me, she looks, it's not going. I said, yeah, it's going the speed of light.
Yeah.
Because to her, speed of light, especially with like Star Tours, it's like she's expecting to see the stretch of light and the tunnel and
hyperdrive. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she's like, we're not going. I said, okay. I kept moving the scroll wheel up to where you could start to see any of those galaxies start to approach.
Yeah, you're doing like what? A couple thousand C or something?
Easily. Yeah. It was like 2,000.
Yeah.
Before you could start seeing anything move.
One C is the speed of light.
Yeah. So it was like 2,000 times the speed of light before we saw before we saw them even start to move on the screen.
Just barely crawl. Yeah. Yeah.
So then I took her to, she was, my daughter is a Sagittarius. So she's like, I said, do you know what the name of our black hole is? She's like, what's the black hole?
Oh,
that
is funny.
Yeah. I said, our black hole at the center of our universe is called Sagittarius A. She's like, oh, really? I said, yeah, you want to see it? She's like, cool. So we went to it, and then I zoomed out to where you could see the hole and the bending of the light.
And I love that Space Engine renders the thing correctly, like with all the gravitational lensing and stuff and like the disk and everything.
Yeah. So I told her, I said, okay, do you want to zoom into it? The speed of light? And she was like, okay. And then again, and it's like not moving. So I told her, I said, do you know why all the light looks stretched out like that? She goes, why? I said, that's everything accelerating around it as it moves into the event horizon. And then she was like, oh, I said, do you want to see how fast it's moving, like right now in real time? She's like, okay. So I hit play
and it doesn't,
and nothing's moving. And she's
astronomical,
like,
astronomical distances and
I know she's just like, so, like, nothing's moving. And I said, to make it visible to her, I had to speed it up to like, it was like 4,000 years a second to see it turning.
But it's because it's flying across such a big distance
So it was really fun, like kind of breaking her brain. Yeah. For those asking in chat, it's called Space Engine. Yes. It's on Steam. It's not just a sandbox. They also have like different things that they recreate that you can see. And it's also a really, I feel like every school should have had this. Mm-hmm. Like if our science classes had this.
About that, right? I was like, dude, I wish we had this in school when we were in school. Cause
now if you want to know so what cool. happens, if you were to replace our sun with like, what is it? Scooty?
UIA Scooty or whatever. Yeah. The biggest star besides Stevenson.
Which I think the size of the star reached past Jupiter's orbit.
Literally everything inside the solar system besides Jupiter.
So if you want to play the game of what if, you get Universe Sandbox. And that's where you'd be like, what happens if we just explode our star and then make the supernova out of it?
You can like Death Star laser planets and watch like the oceans melt. And, and
you can actually, like, you can choose a laser. You can build a laser size. You're like, what happens if I shoot a Death Star laser at the Earth? Fun fact, it didn't blow up. So,
Space Engine is the planetarium. Universe Sandbox is the shoot lasers at planets.
Yeah.
Because we got that confused too when we bought it. You ended up buying the wrong one.
I asked Phil, I said, what do you think would happen if we changed our sun into a black hole? Yeah. He goes, if it's the same mass, nothing. I went, really? So I did it. I changed it to black hole, which is very tiny. It's a very tiny black hole versus the size of the sun.
Yeah, it's like a few kilometers or something. Yeah.
It was smaller than our moon. And basically all the planets kept orbiting. But then we sped up time and we were like monitoring the surface temperature of the planets. Like they all started freezing over and crap because there was no more heat, right?
There's enough mass to keep us in orbit, but not any.
Yeah, there was the green zone just disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, everything went super cold. It was like minus 2500 C or something like that.
It's kind of trippy to think that the sun powers everything. Like all life, it's weird.
Yeah,
we're all sunflowers. I like I like this beer. I'm starting to feel it a little bit.
When you out dad the dad at dad.
No,
jokes.
But yeah, like that's the thing about you. You know, you were talking about how James Webb shoots 14 billion light years away, right?
Yeah.
And you go the speed of light, it'll take you 14 billion years to get there. So that's why you're not going anywhere when you hit the speed of light. You're just like.
Did either of the sandbox games have VR?
Yeah.
Oh, Universe Sandbox. I tried it, but the UI is like really difficult to use.
If you thought moving around like Google Maps or Google Earth in VR was weird, yeah, it's pretty clunky. Like you want to be sitting.
I ended up in front of
especially if you start speeding up time and things start spinning and moving around.
Yeah, I was like, Sagittarius A-Star looks beautiful, but also I was like, I was like, is it sucking me in now? What the heck? Ah! It was great.
Yeah, it has VR gravity.
I know. Jeez. That would be trippy.
Get to travel the multiverse and VR.
The one photon a second thing still blows my mind, though. It's just like when you're measuring your exposure in amounts of photons, like you're just counting individual photons. Like, what?
That's like drawing your game one pixel at a time.
Yeah. I think like an average like 65-watt light bulb is like a million photons a second or some insane number like that. It's like, I didn't realize you could count them individually, but I guess so.
If that gives you an indicator of how far away things are and how their movement is completely indiscernible, that it can have that level of long exposure and it's not, nothing's stretched.
Yeah, the video that I was watching said that the fine guidance system on there is the world's most expensive image stabilizer.
Not the world's anymore. It is not on our world.
But I mean, the world made it, though. It's still ours until it gets jacked.
It's still within our hood. Oh, yeah, Marsh is going to be like, finders keepers, bro.
Could you imagine if we just lose contact? I mean, what happened? It's just getting towed away. Like, oh, you're not allowed to park here?
It's got a parking boot on it.
Right on top of the mirror? You're not allowed to park at L2? Aw. I thought I paid the tax.
Did we get permission from those galaxies to use our likeness?
Oh, my gosh.
But you have to file it in a time machine because we're looking way back in time.
How much did that cost to make?
10 billion, I think. Something like that.
10 billion? How long did it take to make?
It's like 10 to 15 years. I don't remember. It was delayed a lot, and then... They kept switching the rocket or whatever.
Who made it? It wasn't NASA.
It was a joint.
JPL was obviously involved in getting it up there.
NASA, ESA, everybody. Yeah. Like all the space agencies.
Space squad.
$10 billion. That's $1 billion a year if it took 10 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Do you think that includes market adjustment? Like fair market value? Did there's a markup
the
on
markup?
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, the delays were because they had to renegotiate because of markups.
I know, right?
Speaking of markups.
They were waiting for the mining boom to end before they set it up.
Okay, guys, Ethereum's now merged. Let's go ahead and go, 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 go. Go. Oh, they have the power to launch it now. No, I mean, when it comes to markups, I'm just kind of like thinking, have we just been like as a society groomed over the last, I don't know, let's say 5 years? Not just pandemic. The pandemic accelerated it, the idea of markup.
It let them get away with it more.
But do we just become groomed to accept it when no longer is the price the price? Do you remember when you could go, and it's going to come back to cars, it always does, but do you remember when you could just go and see the price of a car and that was the price of the car? Not you get there and then there's
I
like
think you might be the only one with experience with that. I've never bought a new car, so
this is kind of in the used car market now too. Only it's just the total price is what's shown now. But I mean, you go to buy something, and it's like the price isn't the price anymore. You know, and this is affecting not just cars. It's like all things. It's just in all other things. It's being sort of baked in. But I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, like, looking back, when did this all start? When did it used to start with rare commodities? Right, but you can see like markups on a Honda Civic Sport now.
Yeah.
So you go.
Yeah. Wait, didn't you say like you looked up my Civic Hybrid for like kicks, and then it was like more. It was like almost the same price that I paid for it
at the height of the gouging. Yes.
Yeah.
Because things have really started to normalize. It's not back to
because I bought it like five, six years ago, and then and then it was still around the same price or something like that.
It's not back to like pre-pandemic normal, but prices have definitely come down in. Housing has stalled, so it hasn't really come down to where it should, but cars have definitely started coming back to where they're supposed to be. But the fact that like your hybrid, which has how many miles on it?
At this point, 264,000 or something like that?
Yeah. So
around there, like 250, 260K.
Right. And it was going for, like it had gone down really low for a while there because of the mileage and the age and all that.
Yeah.
And then it came.
That was when I bought it.
Yeah. And then it came, back up to like what you had paid for. And now it's probably back down.
Yeah.
But it's just nuts because...
Yeah, the fact that it was ever near what I paid for it was like, what? Because I had put like 20K on it, I think.
How long do you think before you're going to see like... You're going to see the MSRP price of a graphics card on the shelf. You're going to see market adjustment sticker next to it.
Like, what was the card that you were like looking at? I mean, you weren't looking to buy it, but like, didn't you see like some ridiculous market adjustment that like was just...
Oh, that was the AMG Black Series.
Yeah.
I didn't want to buy it. I didn't look at the car. My wife was at the dealership getting service done to her car, and they were off. They were in taking one.
Yeah.
They were, you know, when it comes in off the truck, there's some bits they have to put on the car. There's all the plastic they have to take off the wheel protectors and all that. And they were doing that right in front of her. And it was like the matte gray, like the matte selenite gray with all the exterior carbon package, $340,000 MSRP car. But I've already told the story. She just was like, it's so pretty and stuff. I'm like, yeah, but that's a $600,000 car. And she's like, no, it says 340. I'm like, no, it's over 600. And then she went to the other side of the car in the opposite window of where the sticker is that said, and here's the thing that really made me mad. It's because believe it or not, a lot of manufacturers are cracking down on the whole concept of dealer markups. They're trying to anyway.
Right, because it kind of makes the manufacturer look bad when all your dealerships are doing.
But the dealerships can set their own price. They can set their own price. It's just the manufacturer would have to choose like to enforce their rule of no markups. Will they actually not send the cars to them?
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway, it said dealer installed options.
Oh, yeah. That's what it said. Yeah,
and I saw the photo somewhere. Did you turn off the AC? Because it's like totally not coming back on.
No, I put it to 71 like you asked.
It hasn't come back on and feels sweating.
I know, so I'm literally sweating.
You want to go check it real quick?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about the comfort
jeans.
Of my employees here.
My Filipino jeans are kicking in. Oh, it's hot. No, turn the lights off.
Live show, people.
Yeah.
So anyway,
people were asking if it was live or not. Like, yeah, no, that it is. I'm lively sweating right now.
Why would people ask if it? I don't understand people.
I know it literally is set up as a live show.
It says live on the damn table. No, it says live.
It says dad bods.
It says live. I mean, it's a live stream. All right, can you rewind it on YouTube? I don't know. On Twitch, you can, but no, it's a live stream. Anyway, they called it dealer installed options, and it had like a couple of things that were on there, like carbon, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then it said
heated seat.
It said market adjustment, 300,000.
They just just like, yes, we have installed more cost onto this car.
Yeah, that's what we said. We were like, they installed more price.
It's so funny. Like, it's just such a blatant, like,
if they install more price, can you download a discount then?
Yeah. Can I get the option without this option, please?
Yeah. So, but that's where markups. That's where markups kind of always made the most sense, I guess.
Why am I thinking of the 4090 right now?
No. If anything, look with all...
Dealer installed price.
Look, with all of this negativity around the 40 series...
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. That was my computer. It keeps asking me, do I want to restart for updates? No, I'm doing a show! Doing a show here! Okay. We'll do it live!
We should probably install Winero Tweaker on that and disable updates, because if it restarts in the middle of the show...
Well, I mean,
that would be funny, though.
Would it? I don't know.
I mean, the chat would just be like, "Of course, they would. That would happen on their show."
But it'd be like, "Don't these guys are tech people? They should always have their stuff upgraded or updated."
We have too many computers to keep updated, bro. Yeah. So
yeah, like two different versions of Windows.
But no, this is kind of wrap up my point, though. Is that like the markup stuff made sense on supercars, hypercars, commodity items that were not necessary, right?
So
you would expect like Lamborghinis and Ferraris.
Yeah, it's like a given when you're shopping in the market. Yeah,
because
a
lot of those cars became not collector's items. Yes, collector's items, but they became investments. Really, people buy them, put a cover on them, stick them in like some exotic car storage. It's like climate controlled and on a battery tender. And some guy comes and waxes it once every month or something. You know, and then because then you would rub the paint off eventually. Yeah. But remember, every time you polish a car, you were doing a slight cut on the clear, so you don't want to do it every day. But no, it's just they're just preserving it so that the next guy would be willing to pay $2 million for it when you paid $700,000 for like some, you know, Pagani or something, right?
Yeah.
But no, not a Honda Civic, because we were seeing Honda Civics with like 10K markup.
Yeah.
A Honda Civic with a 10K markup.
I feel like that was kind of the case too when the Type R first launched too. We were
at a 50K.
Like, yeah. It was like, dude, are you serious for a Civic Type? I mean, that's a Type R. Cool. It's special. But like, dude, I don't think it's that special.
You mentioned 40 series though, but no. If all the rumors are true about the over-purchasing of 40 series as well, we should definitely not see a markup.
Right.
Unless NVIDIA is going to intentionally try and hold back supply. I don't know, man.
Hard to tell. What
I
want to
believe.
Right?
I truly... Guys, you don't understand. When I said that I'm a huge fan of the product, I really am. I love tech. I love the ray tracing side, but we love the DLSS tech. We love the FSR tech on the AMD side. We love all of it. All the frames, all the pretties, all the shinies.
Even XeSS.
You can't be a PC enthusiast and not be a fanatic about that kind of stuff, in my opinion. But the problem is when it's like you've got this great product being built by literally like Lex Luthor. Mm-hmm. You feel so conflicted, you know? And by the way, speaking of the bad news stuff that went live today regarding the power plug, AMD is going to be using the same plug because that is actually the PCIe standard. So... yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll have to see how this goes over.
I mean,
we
talked about it, right? Like, every power supply that's over 450 watts requires the 1200.
Yeah, but the reason why I'm saying that is there were a ton of comments in the video saying, you know, fingers crossed that AMD uses standard PCIe Express plug. Or PCIe
I mean,
plugs.
You brought up a good point earlier, though, that they might not on their like, lower-powered cards. But
NVIDIA may not as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But they did use that 12-pin on the 3060 as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's not the PCIe Gen 5 12-pin. It's similar, but it's still that small plug.
Was it NVIDIA's proprietary kind of 12-pin-ish type
thing? The keying is different.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't take that plug and plug it into the 3090.
Oh, like the one that's in my 3080, right? Like that one is not a PCIe.
That's not the same as the one that's on the 3090 Ti.
Okay, yeah, okay. So that's not a 12-volt high-power plug.
See, we had never even looked into like the plug on the 3090 Ti. I just assumed it was the same as the 3090 and the 3080 and all that because they, like I said,
almost the same size and everything.
They're the same like dimensions. Yeah, the keying is different. Remember, some are square and some have the rounded top.
Which is such a bad idea. I don't know why they do that.
But what we didn't realize and went completely over my head was a lot of things. But the 4-pin, the side, what is it called?
What?
The cable. The little 4-pin.
The sideband communication.
The sideband plug. I didn't even notice it was on the 3090 Ti. And we didn't even realize this until we deep dived into it too, that all that melting testing and stuff that WCCF Tech did, even though, look, I still believe WCCF Tech is the absolute, like, Inquirer tabloid of tech. like take almost 99% of what they say as a grain of salt.
Yeah.
As you should with anybody, but they're like just unabashedly, they don't care. They're about clicks and clickbait and stuff. All the issues they found were 3090 Ti, not 4090.
Yeah, they were testing on the 3090 Ti. And
but I didn't realize the 3090 Ti had those four pins. And it looks like there's a pad because next to it, there's a non-occupied pad for another one of those plugs. Like you could have had two of them.
Yeah.
But the pads are there for the four data pins. So I want to get an ATX 3.0 power supply in here now and plug it up to 3090 Ti and see if they communicate. But yeah, it was surprising. I didn't realize it was sitting in there the entire time.
I know. It was weird. And then, yeah, and then I even...
That's probably the only way they could actually feed the 500 watts to it.
Right, because it's exceeding, what, 150 times 3?
Yeah.
450.
Yeah. You move that slider at all, like at all, in terms of just up the power limit and stuff, which just runs away with power
drop. Well, I guess it can pull 50 watts from the slot, but still, like, it's just pulling any more than, like, I would say 15 watts from the PCI slot is still sketchy to me because it's just like, there's so many motherboards that assume that you're just not really going to.
I just don't understand why they made it so small. This would be a question for PCIe IG. What is it?
SIG.
SIG, yeah. This would be a question for them. But why is it so small?
Yeah.
Did it need to be?
Like, it's 600 watts, guys. Like, that's not a small amount of power.
No, I mean...
Like, this mic cable has more contact area than those pins, and it's like... What's going through this? Maybe 48 volts?
Are those Mickey Mouse plugs on the 1,200 watt PSUs that we have?
Yeah.
Well, that's specifically so that you can't, and they're on the 1600, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't, and those aren't Mickey Mouse plugs. The Mickey Mouse plugs are the three round ones that you would use for like monitor bricks and stuff.
The big brick one.
Yeah, you're thinking of the one that looks like an
unresting face.
Yeah, it looks like an unimpressed face. That's for safety. Because if you did draw the max wattage available to those power supplies can feed from the wall, and you put one of the small gauge wire, you're going to burn that wire up. That's a fire hazard.
Yeah.
So they had to key it different above a certain range. And that range is really like 1,300 watt and above.
And people were asking what happens if the data plugs aren't plugged in. I mean, according to the spec, it's supposed to draw a maximum of 150 watts from its power plug. But obviously these 3090 Ti's are not part of the spec yet because they're clearly drawing more than 150 watts without
the. We data. Have to test that.
Yeah.
But how?
Plug in, like you said, buy a 500 watt or lower power supply with the 12 volt.
No, I guess I would just have to do it with. I would just have to get one of the adapters. Okay, so there's two ways we'd have to test this. I would have to get one of the adapters, hook it up to an ATX 2.0 power supply. Mm-hmm.
With a 4090, something
with like a 4090, yeah. And only plug in like three of the plugs,
yeah,
or something.
Because
I
want to
see what I want to see what happens if you don't plug in all four.
Yeah,
because it's not going to know that all four aren't plugged in. It's just going to sense power. Because remember, they all connect to the same pins. They're like multiple cables coming out of a single pin. They're all connected to the same pin, so the power supply or the GPU is going to be like, "Hey, we got power. Let's go." So I would then have to have a watt meter hooked up to it, and then compare 4, 3, 2, and maybe one. Just to see what would happen.
Yeah, because then, like you said, the adapter has to be naive, so
yes,
it has to.
But that's why we have to use the adapter, because you would only use an adapter on a PCIe 2.0 or an ATX 2.0 because it doesn't have the sideband. So, or we have to get ourselves a 450 watt sideband ATX PSU.
Yeah,
and
if
then
the
put
PSU
a,
has the plug, then it's
and then put a 4090 on it.
Yes, and then see if the 4090 power throttles itself, which would it be should. Interesting. It should.
It should because communicate. Be cool. That's what the whole communication was about.
Yeah,
it should.
And that would be really cool because then you know if you accidentally do something like that, then at least
if you accidentally put a 450 watt on a 4090.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. I got $1,600 to buy a GPU. Yeah, but I mean, only leaves me $45 for a power supply.
Or like somebody bought you the parts for a gift or something, and then they just weren't paying attention, and then you didn't know anything either as you're building it, and you're just plugging it in. Like, you
man,
know, they gotta make it sort of kind of idiot proof.
Well, I guess we can probably expect that 12 volt high power plug to exist on the entire lineup of 40 series because
they're drawing so much power.
No, yeah, because if it wasn't, then why would they start the wattage at 450?
Right,
it would be like 1,000. You know, I don't know. That's what I tried to explain in the video. Is like we're in this weird overlap. Mm-hmm. We're in this overlapping tech era, and like I said, I think a lot of my viewers were not around for the ATX to PCIe era.
You mean Molex?
I'm sorry, the Molex.
Yeah,
dude,
Because there was no communication at all. It was just dumb electricity. You just plugged it in and then hooked
Dude, I bet you right now I could go out to our 10 or even maybe even our 20 series cards that are on the shelf and probably find a Molex to PCIe adapter.
I think I do remember that.
And they were always yellow and black. Like, they were yellow and black to show you could physically see which one was ground and which one was 12 volt. But I'm so concerned for this launch. Like, here's the thing. As a tech enthusiast, I want everything to succeed. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in the rising tide raises all ships. It doesn't matter if it's channels or companies or whatever. It's like people say, like, oh, you're competing with Linus or you're competing with Steve. It's like, no, I'm not. We're all in the same ocean. As long as the ocean's going up, we all win. I don't care who's beating who in views or whatever. It doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't. Just like Intel and AMD and NVIDIA all doing battle is great for the consumer. But it sucks when, like, it seems like the 40 series, it's just one for views. The drama's awesome, but I don't want that. I want the views to be high because it's like, this is amazing and it's affordable and it's like Moore's Law because of the fact that it's faster and it's cheaper. And then you got Jen Sun going out there and saying the days of graphics cards getting cheaper are behind us. How many of you guys have heard about that? He literally said it, and that in the apparently it was in that same sales call that we talked about with the roadmap of how they're gonna hold back 30 series to keep the market normalized. But literally said, the days of GPUs getting cheaper are over.
Yeah,
GPUs never actually quote unquote got cheaper. Really, I think what you got for the most part was more performance at the same price point.
It's almost like we got like unintentionally very spoiled by the 10 series launch.
And like, yeah, but you know what though?
Jump for the same price.
That launch was September of 2020. The shortages.
10 series?
Oh, you said 10?
10.
Oh, yeah. Because Pascal was similar.
Yes.
I thought you said 30. 30 series, September of 2020. The pandemic and the shortages were in full force. And they launched a card. I just have to wonder if they just, knowing what we know about NVIDIA now, would you put it past them to just have that be a paper price, knowing that that was never really going to be the price?
Oh, like as in stuff is going to be
the
more
only
expensive?
People that got the GPUs for that price were the first round buyers.
Yeah,
the like first
the
seven, people
$700 3080, right? Like basically,
yeah,
like that.
The $700 3080, the $500 3070. You know, that's the first round of people that bought them before the resupplies because it was the selling out. Instantly because of bots and stuff online and the scalpers and all that. Because of the popularity of purchasing, whoever was purchasing it was popular, right? The first round proved for all the retailers and all the suppliers and all the middlemen and the manufacturers to say, hey, this is something hot. So the price gouging started immediately. Because what happened? As soon as
it's
they sold out,
perfect storm.
The price shot up literally on the first day because what happened? So many people bought their cards, they saw the demand, and they immediately flipped them on eBay. You took the $700 3080, and we were seeing like $1,200, $1,300 3080s.
Yeah.
And we were like, $500 markup? Come on, what's wrong with you guys? And then the cynic part of me was going, well, that's the same price a 2080 Ti was, and it's how much were you get for a 2080 Ti. But that's the wrong way to think because that then means you can always justify the price hike by the same percentage of performance increase, and eventually nobody could afford anything.
It was almost like that. The 2080 Ti was kind of NVIDIA just going like, hey, I wonder if, oh, it works. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, we got to keep that in our back pocket. And then after 30 series came out, and then you know, they're like, oh, well, we'll be nice and then launch it at like,
well, their justification prices. Behind, obviously, 2080 Ti and 2080 being so expensive, all
the
20
RT
series.
Stuff, right?
It was the first generation RT. Yeah.
Why is Siri? Shut up, Siri.
Because it was Titan V, Volta. Right. That had DLSS.
Well, it had the first Tensor cores in a GPU,
I say DLSS. Yes, it had Tensor cores. I think they, in Titan Volta's use case, they were assigned
more
to do something
AI
different.
Stuff.
Yeah, but...
Because that's what Tensor stuff was originally, is machine learning and AI stuff. But yeah. Mm. And then they were like, hey, how do we make games faster with it? And then DLSS happened. Yeah, I don't know.
But that's the stuff that makes me excited for the tech.
Right.
To like, go, native resolution is no longer now the bottleneck in terms of where your performance is held back.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the fact that you can't really discern a difference unless you really pixel peep.
Yeah, I was actually having a discussion on my Twitter yesterday about this because, like, you know, they were like, oh, what about FSR? Because FSR is open. And I was like, dude, honestly, FSR 2 is so good that I was playing Deathloop and I didn't realize I had it on instead of DLSS. Mm-hmm. And I told Jay about that. I was like, on my 3090, I had FSR 2 enabled. And I was like, dude, I mean, at this point, I didn't even notice really a difference when I switched between the two. So, like, yeah, I'm hyped that FSR 2 looks as good as it does. And I can't wait for XeSS as well, because the cool thing about that is Intel's explicitly designing it to take advantage of what hardware you have. So an iGPU, it falls back to a lower quality thing. If your thing has Tensor cores or if it's an Arc series GPU, then it'll go super high quality.
I saw a deep dive that someone had done. I can't remember who it was, but right. It was a discussion taking place that actually proved DLSS 3.0 will run on 30 series. Because here's the thing.
DLSS 3.0 is a superset. The only thing that doesn't run on it is the frame generation feature, which is the one that requires that optical flow accelerator on 40 series.
Right.
Yeah. But the other stuff, like the image quality enhancements and stuff, are still coming down to those cards.
Yeah. Well, no. This was... So, I had need to find the paper, and we have to look at it. But there was a whole discussion taking place amongst some engineering...
On Twitter?
No, this one was actually emailed to me.
Okay.
It was emailed to me to a forum link. I think it might have been Reddit. But it was actually, like, true engineers were saying, like, that actually this could work on DLSS 2.0 and that hardware.
I saw a Twitter feed of an NVIDIA engineer saying that, yeah, I mean, we could run it. We could run it in regular shader code on the 30 series. But the thing is, the performance hit would be the same as the gain. So it makes the frame generation pointless on 30 series, which is why they don't want to enable it. Because you know, because it's like how DLSS has a, you know how it has a fixed amount of hit, right? It's like add 2 milliseconds to your frame. Then... Obviously, if it doesn't make it any faster, it's kind of pointless to enable it when the card can just do better without it. So, yeah that's why they made it a superset as opposed to...
You were looking at the list of FSR titles.
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty extensive now.
Yeah, and a lot of...
The FSR 2.0 stuff, yeah.
FSR, I'm hyped for all this sort of stuff because it's just... It's cool that, like, you know, you can get away with rendering lower, extremely lower resolutions in the case of DLSS and have it still look, you know, functionally decent. If not really good,
yeah.
Like
I said it. I said this in the video that you'll see Monday, teaser. Because I mean, obviously I'm under embargo. I can't say anything. But my opinion of AMD's 7950X is so high that I've already I said I will not be taking my 12th gen system home because it took me so long to build that because of just not. Look, this is probably the first time I've not run the latest hardware at home. Like I'm still on 10th gen at home. I'm on a 3090, but I'm not even a 3090 Ti, but
yeah.
It's a 10th gen 10900K at home with a Z490, right? And it's just been fine. I haven't felt any reason to update that whatsoever. So I built the 12th gen system with the 30, and again, another 3090. It's all pretty and stuff. And I went, you know what? I really held off taking it home because of the weirdness I still experienced on 12th gen. The irony, too, is while we were benchmarking, both my Intel 12th gen systems here just started like crapping the bed for no reason.
Me and Nick were cracking up because he was just going back and forth between his office computer and the test bench and going like, what's happening to this thing now? And I was just sitting there in my third river just laughing because I was just like, it knows. It knows it's going to get replaced.
It's become self-aware.
Yeah.
But the
it's
reason
like when you get a new car and your old car starts acting.
But the reason why I never took it home was I knew these launches were coming and I really went, okay, with everything we have seen leaked, for me, I was mostly needed validation of the clock speeds, you know? But anyway, knowing what was leaked, would I switch back to AMD for my personal rig at home for the first time since 2013?
Since an 8350.
an FX 8350 with a GTX 680 was my most recent AMD system I used at home. But anyway, spoiler alert, I did say in this video, I absolutely positively, regardless of what 13th gen has to bring, will be using a 7950X in my personal build for home now. That's how good it is. So you'll have to watch the video on Monday. I can't give any specifics or anything like that. It's freaking good. That's all I can say. It shocked the crap out of us.
Well, the noises that both of you guys were making while you're
yeah, you were like 3D modeling something or whatever.
He was hearing,
and we were just like, dude, oh my god! I was like,
oh, it's,
hey
it
Phil,
must be
check
really
this out.
Good.
Phil walks in.
the amount of noise, like, yeah, literally, it was like, what's going on? Oh, they must really like
we
it.
We were like straight up screaming at some of the results. I swear, it was.
It's nuts. Yeah, and I probably already said too much, but you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm just. AMD has to just understand I am that freaking excited about it. It's just because there's certain things. Monday we'll talk about it.
But. You're going to get us all trouble.
You're ruining it.
I already have it. They can't take it back.
I know. You can't show them.
No. But here's what I'm thinking in my mind. What I started to say before I started
Jeez,
to like
leaks over
break
here.
Embargoes is if Radeon is anywhere near the performance of 30 series for me, 3090, if it is as good on par or even a little bit better than my current 3090 at home, I will go all AMD for my next system. So I'm kind of holding off on that now.
That's a pretty good bet because, I mean, the 6950 XT is pretty much a 3090. Not 3090 Ti, but, you know, 3090.
Right.
So they can't get worse.
But
I hope so.
But what were the things? What were the
7000 series is worse. Could you imagine?
No, that would be, how confusing would it be to say, oh, yeah, I got my 79, if they come out with a 50 series card like they did with 6 series, right. I got my 7950 XT graphics card and my 7950X CPU.
X3D.
7800 X3D with my 7950 XT. That's the only problem with their generations lining up like this.
Yeah, because you can't copyright numbers, so they're just, everyone's using the same numbers.
But no.
You got Intel over here with A whatever.
I just saw a random CSGO smoke says Juck Fenson.
Demonetized.
But no, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, you realize I said Juck Fenson, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
okay, I didn't know if you, no, okay, I was just making sure.
Demonetized. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's just, imagine for the first time, like AMD being on top on both. It's been on top for CPU for a while.
Is it going to be one of those memes where, like, the world goes back to, like, perfection? Like,
yeah, like that picture of, like, the flying cars
and everything, just, yeah, like, in AMD.
With, like, the shiny buildings and the grass planes and everything, and it's just, like, what happens when AMD is on top of both CPU and GPU?
When was the last time AMD was truly, like, truly, truly on top? Athlon.
Yeah, I was going to say, my Athlon XP was dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was way before my time anyway.
Yeah, Nick was a fetus still. He was a tadpole.
Primordial soup.
Well,
yeah, primordial soup.
The primordial soup. Yeah, the only thing that I'm... So what would keep a person from buying an AMD graphics card? It was the fact that DLSS was so good, mm-hmm, and FSR was not as good. But remember, DLSS 1.0 was terrible. It was so bad.
Yeah.
But what we have right now is we have a timeline where NVIDIA is ahead on the maturity of these technologies, and then ray tracing. Mm-hmm. Ray tracing performance on AMD was... definitely a bigger hit.
Like noticeably worse.
Very noticeably worse.
And you didn't want to run FSR 1. Now it might be better with FSR 2. Like, yeah. I haven't run Cyberpunk. It'd be interesting to get that 6900 XT, put it back in my system.
It's a downside of having a rigid tubed water cooled system as my work system here, because I would love to just pop it out and put the 6950 XT in there.
Yeah.
Just to start playing with FSR again.
Because it was the 6900 that broke on my system, right? That just randomly stopped.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, but if we have a 50, then yeah, you could.
That was the one we did the video about where it was.
And I liked that card. I told Jay I felt like my system was snappier on it than the 3090.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, even he saw, like, you just get weird stuff in Premiere. I don't know if it's something to do with CUDA, but whatever. Adobe software.
Well, wrapping up the end of the week. Besides all the tech excitement that I've been hearing in the background.
Nick's been working a lot of the week on some 3D modeling stuff, yeah, and 3D printing stuff. And so he'd just be here
in the back.
And it feels like...
and then like a couple of seconds later, like, Nick, this is... Look. And then he just runs back inside.
Like so many just...
But what did I say? You talk about the highlight. For me,
would be a highlight?
What did I say to both of you yesterday? As I was literally like smiling ear to ear, and I was like, I haven't been this excited about tech in a long time. Remember I said that?
Yeah, I genuinely don't remember.
I remember that.
I really don't remember. Sorry, I'm like full Dory status right now.
Phil does have a very short-term memory.
Yeah.
It's okay. I suffer.
I have a lot of stuff.
You remember
in my
me
head.
Saying it though, right?
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I felt all like, you know, the butterflies feeling when you're happy, like really happy?
Like the zoomies.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like you feel
I
like
don't remember. I really
you feel
don't
like
remember.
Like you feel like you're kind of accelerating. You're like, ah, I'm so happy.
Yeah,
that's how I felt. This just doing testing because I was like, dude, been so long. It's been 2 years.
Yeah,
since we've done any real new hardware testing of any kind.
Oh, you know what? And it was also longer for you because I did a lot of that last round testing because you were on your cruise.
Yes.
Remember? Mm-hmm. So
I was on vacation.
It's almost been like 3 years.
It was like the first vacation I had ever taken in my like adult career.
Yeah.
And then it was the last I got to take.
Yeah, it's all your fault, dude. 2020 was Jay's fault. Oh, man.
The irony of...
Yeah, I just realized. Yeah, I did all the AMD stuff, and that was it was like AMD CPUs and GPUs and NVIDIA stuff all came out at the same time.
Yeah, everyone's on the same 2-year cycle right now.
Well, yeah. I noticed it too, though, because you were a lot more into it.
I was here for a
benchmarking because usually you're like and then you're just like sitting and looking at their phone and just staring back waiting for it to finish. But this one you're just like
The last thing he was testing that hardcore was 20 series.
Yeah, I was
spinning the wheel of fortune like big money. Like,
no, I was looking at
was new.
I was looking at the screen like I was playing trombone champ.
Yeah.
No, that's a different intensity. What I walked into on the Twitch last night was something else.
Somebody said, Phil has...
I don't know. There's 4,000 people in here right now. You guys that don't come to the Twitch streams, man, you have no idea what uncensored Jay you are missing out on.
Somebody said, Phil has short everything. Not everything.
He can't fall forward.
No comment.
Phil, here's my impression of Phil falling forward.
you forgot the thud, dude.
Dude, this is a really expensive microphone. I want. Oh, jeez. Well, welcome to the RTFM show, guys. Every Friday.
Highlight for me was getting on Rocket League like after 1.5 weeks of not playing, and then just completely
beating both everybody. Of us.
Yeah, which never like happened. That's never happened. Yeah, even he was like, "What?" I was like, "Dude, you got to uninstall more often."
I control alt deleted with the last 10 seconds just so I didn't have to see you celebrate.
I was like about to make you break your day old controller.
No,
like,
what did I say? Because we bought me two controllers because I was like, I know one of these is gonna get broken. Yeah. What did I say yesterday?
I'm like, one controller. Me and Nick both yelled at the dude. But I, like, no, two.
They're the Xbox controllers, and they're like the tennis ball yellow ones. I think they look cool, and I was like, I'm about to only have one green controller.
That's why I told Phil, like, before he plugged it in, like, hey, we should date this one. That way we could see how long it lasts.
I was like, bro, with how you're playing, it's like one day. Literally one day. Oh, man. My highlight of the week, I think it's same as Jay's, like, just seeing that thing in action was just like straight up just.
That's actually, but the tech honestly is not my highlight right now. End of August, first half of September was the worst growth month my channel's ever had in 10 years. So we've never had decline, but we've always had measurements of growth. So it's like, how do we do versus this period last year? How we do versus last quarter? How we do versus last month? And it was the slowest we had, like the channel itself had ever like gained subs. Views didn't really drop too much, like not a lot. But so the way I look at it with YouTube, sub count is an indicator of newcomers liking the channel. But we already know with YouTube's notification system and the way I broke it down last week, notifications and subscribing doesn't mean crap in terms of being notified.
Yeah, so was it like 10,000?
Oh, I'll tell you again. I know we did this last week.
Yeah,
but
it was insane.
So, no, it was the fact that this week has shown that people are ready for something new. They're ready for next gen, whether it's just hating on NVIDIA, hoping for AMD, whatever. I saw a lot of people excited for 40 series. There's always going to be those people that are just like, I love NVIDIA. I've seen the comments that are like, I unabashedly love NVIDIA.
Or just like us. Like, we just love new, cool tech, right? Like, it doesn't matter who it's from.
But this week has been like, the craziest amount of growth and view counts and such that we've seen in like since the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah. And those numbers were artificial because of the fact that everyone was stuck at home watching content. It's just people were just so bored they would watch anything, including my face. So it was like, okay,
the numbers we don't have a choice.
fun fact though, during those crazy, like our highest view count for the month during the pandemic was 28 million in a month, just under 30 million. We average around 10 to 12 normally now, but that was also the lowest advertising dollars it was ever spent at the same time because advertisers were afraid. There was uncertainty, right? Mm-hmm. So they stopped advertising and views went up. So it just like balanced itself out where it was the same income no matter what. So it didn't do anything for us in terms of like monetary growth. But no, so if I look at... And this is what sucks about the whole notification thing, right? If I go to the bro, NVIDIA expects to get away with this, right? We talked last week why we have to kind of clickbait a little bit. I'm sorry, guys. I have no choice. It's the game YouTube made, and I'm about to explain to you why. Again, there's 1.1 million views on that video since 2 days ago. That's crazy for us, right?
Yeah.
If I look at the analytics on that, of 1.1 million views, how many of those views do you guys think came from notifications? That means somebody got the ding, Jay's put out a video or an email or whatever. How many views do you think came from that number? And don't say a number you think is ridiculous. Like, realistically, what number do you think that is?
Also, we should ask chat, too, before you reveal it.
Yeah.
Yeah, what number do you guys think, too? Okay, so
1.1 million in 48 hours. How many of those 1.1 million views do you think came from?
I mean, you spoiled it for me already.
Yeah.
But
do you remember what number I said? Because you can't remember yesterday.
It was like
no.
10K, 13K, something like that.
15.2 thousand.
That's such a dumb
15.2 thousand.
That's 1%, right?
Yeah, a little 1.5%. Over 1% came from notifications.
We get another drink because of that.
How many of those do you think came from YouTube search? People searching 40 series. Yeah, I turned on the lights. Yeah. you're killing the mood here.
I think, I want to say less than what you're notified. So like probably 8K, 7K?
No, 20,000.
What?
My channel popped up more by people randomly looking something up than actually being a subscriber to the channel.
Is this because YouTube doesn't ask, hey, are you still watching after like the third video ends?
No, this is because YouTube does just... YouTube, look, and I learned this when I went to the Mr. Beast panel at VidCon, when he was talking with the VP of YouTube growth or whatever, right? YouTube relies entirely on the algorithm now, 100%. You don't even get a notification about my channel unless your watch history and your interactions say you might be interested in my channel. The fact that you are subscribed, as far as I'm concerned, the fact that a person is subscribed to a channel is all the algorithm needs to know to, hey, send them a notification, mm-hmm. right? So so more views came from random searches than the subscriber feed. Here's a fun fact. 17,000 of my views on that video came from external. Do you know what that means? That means more people watched it on Twitter through my post than on YouTube.
Or like other, like if an article links to it, right?
If it got embedded or whatever.
Right.
Jeez.
Do ads? Here's the other thing. Of the 1.1 million views, 78,000 of them came from the subscription feed. 28,000. So what? 2.5%.
Yeah.
Almost came from the subscription feed. 892,000 came from YouTube recommendations. And what that means is that it was served. It said, we put that video somewhere on the screen for someone to see it.
Your face was ridiculous enough in the thumbnail that,
okay.
that we served it.
You passed the vibe.
No, here's the thing about this. And I want new creators and people trying to grow their channels to understand this. And this is why the whole quote-unquote clickbait thing, thumbnail thing exists.
Yep, and why you have to play the game.
It's because of the fact that YouTube... How many of you... Go to YouTube. You go to YouTube.com. You're taken to the homepage, right? Mm-hmm. The homepage is made up of nothing but suggestions based on your watch history, okay? And your cookies and your and stuff and your cache that's in your browser, okay? How much time do you spend actually randomly clicking on those videos versus like actually looking for something or hitting your subscribers? Is it a lot? Because mine is.
Mine's a lot.
I'm my own case study. Yeah. I rarely actually go to my subscription feed and look at what people are doing right. until after I've seen all the home stuff being served to me.
Or if like I know somebody that I want to watch has launched a video or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I was looking forward to it.
So I am my own problem.
Yeah.
Because I go to YouTube and I just immediately start seeing what the homepage has
because,
to offer.
Because like it's awkward and it sucks to say, but like the algorithm is good.
Because
it
if works. I break this down, if I break this down even more, 892,000 views of the 1.1 million. So let's just say 900,000. 900,000 views of the 1.1 million came from recommendations. 760,000 of those 900 came from YouTube Home. Up next, which is the autoplay,
mm-hmm.
131,000.
That's like,
dude.
Wait, that's 10 times as much as actual subscribers yes. that got notified.
Yes.
So people that are asleep and accidentally watched our video, there are 10 times more of those people than people that have subscribed.
And here's the weirdest part.
And actually got
here's the weird part. Three views came from video cards and annotations. And I don't have that video in an annotation or a video end card. So somebody else had to have end carded it.
Oh, yeah. Like somebody was commenting on it or something.
126 came from YouTube advertising. I've never advertised on YouTube, so I don't know what that is. So anyway.
Oh, like how like that one time the Linus video got advertised in front of one of our
No, videos? That was an actual campaign.
Oh, okay.
And it was just put on the genre.
Right.
Okay. But anyway, so no, my highlight of this week is the fact that seeing the growth, seeing the subscriber growth, the fact that our typical subscriber growth in the last 28 days has gone quadruple of where it was, And then our view count is doing good, and the channel has like got all this new life breathed into it because of the fact that people are watching again. Mm-hmm. Makes me excited to do videos again.
Right, it's like a
the audience's energy of watching and interacting and feeding back to us
being
gives
hyped.
Us power and energy to keep like let's doing what it. Are we going to do next? Yeah. Like I've got a list on my phone a mile long now of video ideas that I have just because it gets triggered by the interaction of the audience. But you have to watch the videos to interact, you know.
Because it was like the flip side where it was just like. Every time we were excited about some tech or whatever, but the audience wasn't.
Because they couldn't buy it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then it was disheartening because it's like, what, dude, should we just stop talking about this? Because, you know, like we even released videos saying that. Or like, it sucks because, like, you know, we're hyped for this tech, but also, like, if no one can buy it, it's not really that exciting for the viewers, you know, like, who cares? So,
that was, those were struggles for real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've basically just always treated the subscription button as nothing more than a like channel or a like button for the channel. And that just gives us another bearing, another metric to say, hey, do people like the direction we're going?
Right.
Right. So as long as that number is positive, which it always has been, it's never been negative, but as long as it's always positive, then it's okay. You know, just keep going this way. But
I keep seeing in chat too, like people saying straight up that, yeah, we're watching you guys again because like the new tech is exciting and you know, people like it's getting less depressing.
Well, the work from home, the learn from home, and just being stuck at home for the first year for most people, I think it inspired a lot of people to want to finally build a computer. Maybe they never had one. Maybe they want to. Maybe they had to try. But then they couldn't get it. They couldn't afford it. And those people that subscribed during that crazy growth, because our highest subscription number during... So my subscribers, typically, in a normal like scenario, was anywhere between 30 to 40,000 a month, normally. At the pandemic height, we were seeing sequential months of 130,000 more a month growth. And then it dropped all the way down to 6,000 during the low of people just being mad.
Yeah.
And like I said, in the last 28 days, that's quadrupled again. So it's crazy.
Yeah, people saying, I couldn't stand watching graphics card reviews when nobody can buy it.
No, I get it. Yeah. I get it. I mean, but we also, that's what we do, so I couldn't stop.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't Rocking stop, a hard you know, place for sure, and we played around with it, and we tried doing other types of content, you know, but the thing is, the reality is, we this is what we'd experience. Stop doing graphics card reviews, they're too expensive, we can't afford them, so we do something else. What's this crap? I don't want to watch this crap.
The drone stuff?
Not even just the drones, just anything that was outside of the PC box.
Yeah.
People were like, I don't want to watch this, it's not why I'm subbed. So it's clearly different mouths, different people.
Yeah.
But the point was, we could not get a bearing on what people wanted to watch.
And like the awkward thing too was that like the people that did enjoy that new weird random stuff, like the tempered glass testing video, right? Like all those people were super fans of that content.
Yeah.
But it's a vocal minority. And it was just like, I mean, it sucks because like all the comments are just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like do more stuff like this. But then like the views are down. So it's like the bigger picture is that no, the crowd doesn't like.
Yeah,
this.
Well, like for That's instance, right here, small, someone in chat says, "Just don't do another one of those ASMR videos." No, do you know how many people we also said, "Please do more of this"?
Yeah.
So that cancels out his comment, but his comment also cancels out the other comment. Yeah. So it's a wash. We just have to ignore the comments, and we have to go about the analytics purely. I think a lot of folks. I don't want to rub anyone the wrong way, but I think individuals overvalue their individual opinion being expressed directly to a creator.
Yeah.
What you have to do is you have to vote with your view, your like or your dislike. Remember, content creators can still see the dislikes, just publicly you can't. And then you can make the comment. It's just, I see a lot of comments that are directed like, hey, you need to do this or stop doing this, very direct. And it's like, you have to understand, I can't care about 3.7 million individual opinions because it's impossible. You know,
see, like, literally happened in chat right now. No ASMR, and then immediately after, do ASMR eating food. LOL.
Yeah, but that's a meme. But still,
I know, still.
Air conditioning GPUs again might be necessary. Don't trust me. I have got some fun experiments.
No, we gotta tape the liquid AC to the AC, so it's double AC now.
Double AC.
This would be so dumb.
Oh. Yeah, so,
oh,
no.
Oh.
So we just add a radiator to the loop of the AC, but plumb that radiator into the other AC. So it's liquid chilled and air to air. Although the air to air might.
Where you at, Rip?
I
don't
know. I wonder if the air to air would just warm it up. I don't know. I can tell you. I can tell you. We did get by just using the regular AC, plumbed through the radiator. We were getting coolant temps down into the 5C. So maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
We won't know until we do it.
So yeah, my highlight honestly was just seeing the channel get reinflated, if that makes sense. And my head with it, according to everyone else. Those comments can't bother me because people that know me know that's absolutely not true.
Yeah.
But all right, time for the from the freaking audience. Are we ready?
Wait, we do?
Huh?
We know it's not true.
Well, you say that to my face. You say whatever you want behind my back. Like I say this all the time. People can talk crap about me behind my back all you want, as long as it doesn't make it back to my front. Because then I will address it.
I don't know if it can make it all the way to the front of your big head.
It's like you hear it at the end of the tunnel. You just see him like turn around.
Here, I'll give you more laughs.
Thank you. It's like I got Nick to laugh. And Nick's main emotion is not. Yeah. It's not emotion.
That was good to get around the back of my big head. Yes, yeah, my big brain. Okay, here we go. RTFM's FTFA from the freaking audience. Again, write us at RTFM@jstwocents.com. Please, I forgot to say this the last few episodes. Your questions must be short. When I open an inbox email and it's like a wall Wikipedia of text. It's what, instant garbage.
What he's trying to say is make it like a paragraph or less. Don't.
No, not even a paragraph.
Paragraph's like 4 to 5 sentences. It's okay.
A sentence.
Okay, but.
Okay, do you call a radio show where they're like call in and just be like, so it all started when I was 12, you know? And it's like.
Depends on the show. If it's a talk show, that's okay.
It kind of does depend.
Like if it's a request.
No, here's the thing. If I start reading the question and I realize it's going to take like a couple minutes to get through the email. That's a problem. So short, concise, to the point questions. We're more than likely going to pick something that is it adds to the show and the lifestyle content. And don't be like, here's my parts list. Is this good? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to read that on the show. So I think people need to understand. Like the point is, add topics to the show we can talk about, and the audience will have fun with.
Plus, that stuff's like go to like LTT forums or something. Like,
for instance,
that's where it's supposed to be.
For instance, Andre says. YouTube is pushing more. Oh, what is your and the others' takes on ad blockers? YouTube is pushing more and more ads than I've even heard, and there will be 5 to 10 ads at the beginning of a longer video, which are not skippable. You are making money from these ads, but I have the feeling that big money goes to Google's pockets, not into the creators who are actually doing the heavy lifting. I'm going to disagree with you on a couple of things. One, Google provides the platform at no cost to us. It's perfectly fine for them to take money from the ads, a big chunk of it. YouTube is not cheap to run. Okay, I create content on a platform that's just sitting there waiting for me to use that costs me nothing. So I don't agree with that part of the comment. But ad blockers. You mentioned here the unskippables and the 5 to 10 minute long video or ads and all that sort of stuff. Any content creator can turn any video. I could turn one of my 30 minute videos into an ad and pay to have it promoted. And the problem is if the content creator does not go into the monetization settings per video and unclick non-skippable ads, you might get served that 30-minute ad. What you're experiencing is a content creator problem, not YouTube. It is a content creator that leaves the auto-monetization on.
You have complete control over exactly how many ads, where you want the ads to be,
exactly.
And if they're skippable or not.
If you've ever gone to a video of mine and you see that there's like 10 ads across it, that's because I forgot to turn it off.
Yeah, because it defaults to just shotgun spraying your video with ads.
Well, no, it defaults to run a mid-roll. But the mid-roll that I have selected is not always... So I don't get to choose the kind of mid-roll. It could be a right. banner pop-up. It could be an actual pause that brings you to a skippable ad. So that the algorithm, if you by my monetization default, is have mid-rolls on and post-rolls. Okay, because I firmly believe that for the effort we put into videos, if you can give me 10 seconds worth of your time to skip. Okay, I'm sorry. If you don't agree with that, you're probably running ad block. It doesn't matter to you anyway. Yeah. But... when it comes to the skippable and all that sort of stuff, that's on the content creator. The way that it works is it will automatically insert those where it logically thinks the best point to put those ads are because it's scanning the video and it's looking for breaks and pauses and maybe a scene change and it will try and put one there. But the longer the video, the more it adds. And so, and there was a weird section there for a while on YouTube where even on like a 15-minute video, it was adding like 20 of them.
Yeah, the algorithm was.
It was literally like every minute.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was bad.
It looked like one of those like scam channels.
So what you have to remember is that if you're on a channel that has long, non-skippable ads, it's the content creator that's either one, being negligent and not looking at it and checking it, and they're neglecting the setting, or two, they just don't care and they're leaving it on, or three, they're just completely unaware or intentionally. Yeah. So that is why none of my content has non-skippable ads, because I know that there are people out there with 5, 10, 15 minute video ads. And that ad is just a video of theirs that they promoted as an ad. That's how that works. So that's why my content has no non-skippable ads. Fun fact too, is the non-skippable ads more often than not have the lowest CPM payout. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because the moment people see that, they just close the video. Yeah.
Other things that you can do too, if you still want to support content creators, but you don't want to see ads, there's YouTube Premium. You do get the music subscription and all that sort of stuff.
I'm a premium subscriber. I love it.
I don't run ad block. I've never actually installed an ad block anywhere. I probably should, just because I'm so tired of going to like these written article websites when we're cross-referencing stuff and seeing 56 bajillion pages, and there's like a tiny little square of text in the middle of the screen. But I'm not one of those people that hates on those that use AdBlock. I understand why people are using it, and it's because so many folks, like I just described when it comes to the monetization side of the channel, don't run it properly or to be viewer-friendly. Again, your complaint is with the creator. The other thing is, your view, to me, quite honestly, is more valuable than the ad that plays. And the reason for that is for us to continue having channel growth and having advertisers that we work with directly believe in our channel and see our viewership. That is what gives us the ability to continue to be self-sufficient and operate outside of YouTube's AdSense, so that we can have the ads that we create, like the iFixits and stuff. And we still need to do that crazy iFixit idea that we have for our new ad. Because it was pointed out recently that our ad is out of date because it says, fix the inventory problem. It's like, it's already fixed. Yeah. So
yeah, we fixed it with iFixit.
So yeah, we need to update the ad, but we've got a really silly ad that we want to do. Like, it's, when you talk about doubling down on the iFixit silly, it's going to be bad in a good way. Mm-hmm. But what I was trying to say is, watch my channel with AdBlock on if you feel so inclined, because again, your view to me is the most important figure of all of this.
And I think for me, like, that's exactly why I like YouTube Premium, because it pays based on watch time to the creators that you watch.
Yeah.
So
I can tell you right now, though, if nobody ran AdBlock, if every view we got was monetized, we'd never have to make an ad. So it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
I've seen those people complain about the ads we put in a video, which means you know they're running ad block, which means they want completely like zero time cost to them, content, like free cost, period, to watch it. And then they don't want to contribute any of their time to help us continue to be able to bring content. And those are the comments that are like, why is there an ad baked in and why is ad block and all that? Literally, your comment is on deaf ears. I could never be more interested, less interested in what you have to say about the monetization side of the channel. But yeah, the views keep us going. Everything else is kind of secondary to that. I know that there's some content creators, smaller, shorter ones that live north of us that have had very different opinions on AdBlock, but that's mine. That's the way it's always been. So
yeah, like for websites, I also run an AdBlock, but on sites that I do.
Or whitelist the channels.
Exactly. I whitelist channels and, well, I mean, I'm on premium, but yeah, for websites, I whitelist the ones that I do enjoy and want to support.
So. Yeah, I have premium. So I have premium.
Oh, you finally got it again?
Well, yeah, remember my subscription.
You had last for like 2 years or whatever.
Yeah, it had ended.
You're like, oh, these ads are so annoying. I was like, what ads?
Yeah, but no, I re-signed it for premium, but I need AdBlock for the websites. I'm telling you right now, yeah. It's bad. Yeah, all right.
I don't have AdBlocker on any of my stuff. I just rubbed
it. They make an AdBlock for phone.
Well, like for my desktops.
I know, but I'm just wondering if they make one for the phone.
Yeah.
Oh. Huh. Yeah. I've never ever had an ad block. Is it like a VPN?
No, the iOS Safari supports like content blockers and stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right, moving on. Chavis says, hi, my name is Chavis, and I was just curious, what are your favorite Fast and the Furious cars? Mine is either Dom's Roadrunner in Furious 7 or Brian's Blue Skyline in Fast and Furious.
Silver with blue?
Oh, the two Fast and Furious.
Yeah, silver with blue. It's silver with blue accents, right?
Yeah, no, but in the later one, he gets blue. Another R34 that's solid blue.
Yeah, that's the Fast and Furious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So Too Fast, Too Furious is the silver one.
He didn't.
No, he got another one later.
Yeah, when he comes back.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. Yes, the Skyline with the Gallo 24.
I didn't know Quick and Go Meta or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I like the Too Fast, Too Furious Skyline and what was it, the Evo from Tokyo Drift?
I don't remember that one.
The one where again, and then he like crashes it and on the mountain when he's trying to learn how to drift.
Oh, yeah. See, that was for me the most forgettable one. Not the car, the movie.
What is drift?
What is drift? Ah, Christ.
That one was probably one of my more memorable
control,
ones.
You ain't in control. Still need a dictionary? Yes, I still need a dictionary, Bow Wow. That doesn't explain anything. It's so dumb. I love that movie so much.
Oh man, I'm thinking back about all the cars. For me, honestly, it was the Yanko Camaro and the Too Fast, Too Furious.
I like that it has stuff for everyone, too.
Yeah.
And it has stuff to piss off everyone.
I don't know if it's a true one, but if it's a true Yanko, that's like a $500,000 car. Okay? And I'm sorry. You're not going to offer up your $500,000 pink to some, like, really riced out Lancer, which wasn't even an Evo.
Yeah.
Okay? That guy was cracked in the head.
That Mustang in Tokyo Drift, was that RB swapped or SR20 swapped? It was RB swapped. RB. Right? Yeah, because the S15 RB that he crashed had an RB in it.
Yeah.
The Mona Lisa car, yeah. Yeah, that pissed everyone off.
I didn't know what an S15 was until after the movie. I'm like, okay, just another 240 to me.
It made the muscle car guys mad because it had a JDM engine. It made the JDM guys mad because why would you put it in a Mustang?
He's like, yeah, this is
it's
cool.
Just going to pull towards the crowd anyway.
And that's why I can never own a Mustang. I don't want to hit crowds. I just wouldn't be able to handle the jokes. Because here's the reality. Here's the reality. Any rear-wheel drive.
Give you crowds. Stop giving you crowds.
You can find just as many Camaro and Challenger and Charger crash videos and just as many Z crash videos. Rear-wheel drive.
Yeah.
All right. Adrian says, you talked about clickbait titles and thumbnails in the last RTFM show, and you're pretty much forced by YouTube to make them ridiculous. I was wondering which other platform you would use instead of this one. Have you ever thought about ever moving entirely to another platform or upload on multiple platforms? What platform?
That's the problem. Unfortunately.
Have I ever considered moving away from success? No. I haven't.
DJ Khaled freaking album art.
How many?
Major key alert.
No, suffering from success.
How many people have tried? Vessel. Yeah. Vessel was a terrible concept. It was nothing but a concept of early access videos, which to me, nothing says, hey, how can we monetize the crap of our audience without doing anything for them like early access? And to be honest, it's one of the reasons why I've never signed up with Floatplane yet. Not because Floatplane is early access. Floatplane, because that's the only other platform I could think of, honestly. There are so many that came and went and are complete failures. Floatplane is a content creator's choice. What are you offering your audience? Is it early access? There are those on Floatplane doing early access where you get to watch a video on Floatplane early. I think Linus is doing that. There is, you know, and then what it is like a week later, you see it on YouTube. Well, when I think about something, I put myself in the consumer mindset because I am a consumer. Just I consume content as well as I create it. Jeez,
I don't know. So, I don't know why I did that.
So I go okay. If I were gonna pay money to this Floatplane creator, what am I getting for the money? I get to watch it a week earlier. You know what? I like money, so I'll keep it in my pocket and I'll just watch it when it comes out on YouTube for free. That's the way I think about it. So yeah, the
not
early
that hype for a graphics card review.
That's
right?
Why I never. Well, no, no one that I know of on Vessel or Vessel. Wow, Floatplane. that's why they called it Floatplane. It was basically a vessel that took off rather than sank. That's literally why they called
funny.
It Floatplane.
That's amazing.
I swear to God, that's why Luke named it that.
Yo,
so,
good job, Luke.
Kudos to you, sir.
Yeah, because it can float and take off.
And plane.
So,
yeah.
So anyways, so for that model, doesn't work for me. But for when it comes to like day one launches and stuff, I know for a fact like Linus and I think Kyle's still on Floatplane. I don't know. They do like simultaneous, right? For me, it would go... The same reason why I don't have a Patreon, because Patreon is a way for people to be able to directly contribute. And by the way, Patreon is not a video platform. So Patreon's not even a possibility of replacing YouTube. But what do you get for being a patron? Is you get something for that money. So Steve gives a lot of behind the scenes. He gives some, I think there's some live streams. He has access to like his benchmarks and all that stuff up there. So you get something for it. And Steve is such a deep dive type of outlet
yeah.
that That has value. Just having access to the charts and stuff would be major value.
Right.
For us, it would be like, okay, behind the scenes. Well, BTS takes another person to film. So we don't have that person. And second of all, it takes more time to edit, more time to create.
Yeah, the BTS would have to be its own like workflow. Like you would have
It would have to be simultaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, that doesn't work because even if it's bonus content, all of my content that I create goes on YouTube. I don't hold any of it behind a paywall because, again, for the same reason why I wouldn't do early access, I think it's scummy to have any content hidden behind a paywall exclusively that doesn't make its way to free eventually. Now, a month later, 2 months later, it's more than likely going to lose its relevance. You know, if it was like, say we were doing our YouTube or our studio upgrade or whatever. You're just watching those videos now where I'm like, we need to fix this thing. You're like, the videos have looked weird for the last 2 months. So that no one's going to care, right? So none of those models have worked for me until this team can grow. And right now, we're not ready to grow.
Yeah. I always talk to Jay, too, about that, like how Corridor Digital has literally a BTS team. That's how they can get like daily and semi-daily vlogs out and stuff like that with BTS because like, yeah.
I think it's a chicken and egg thing though. Mm-hmm. Like if it, because
they have a big crew. They got like 12, 15 people.
To hire someone and expand, I have to at the very least have it cost me nothing. Right? So I have to have that team at least cover its costs.
Right.
So whatever it's doing, if it broke even, it becomes a harder sell. I mean, if it's a loss to me, that's bad business, right? If it breaks even, it's a harder sell than saying, okay, why are we going through all this to literally get nothing from it? But I think just like anything else, with enough effort, enough time, enough nurturing, it could become successful.
Yeah.
But again, I've never done that sort of simultaneous workflow, so it would be scary because the moment is if you hire people on to do that, costs go up exponentially with insurances and all that sort of stuff. But then if they leave the company or if I have to lay off or it's just not working, then it gets even uglier.
Yeah, because like what? Do you just shut down the Patreon or whatever, you know?
No, like, I'm talking about if we hired like a BTS team.
Yeah, I know. And then if they left and then that was one of the Patreon things, it was like,
yeah,
you know, then, now you're taking these people's money and then unable to provide the cool exclusive stuff for them. And then it's awkward. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea. I think we have a ton of, like, I think our core following is extremely dedicated and very, very supportive of anything that we do. And I think that's why I said this week was the highlight for me because it reminded me, like, they're still there.
Yeah.
For a long time, I was like, the thing on? Hello? 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 Hello?
Somebody in their call right now. You're
like, hello? Hello? Hello?
Show us your boobs.
Like that's basically like that's what I was expecting.
I mean, half the chat's saying OnlyFans, so I don't know, dude. I'm not going to join you on that endeavor, but I'm not filming it either.
Whatever floats your plane, bro.
Whatever Onlys your fans, bro.
Dude, I don't need a cameraman for that. Insta 360, yeah, bro. Yeah.
Mom, can you come get me? Drop
the
that
chat's
weird.
Getting weird again, yeah. Mom. Help.
Here we go. Jay's OnlyFans is just a 360 cam in between my legs while I'm standing and meat spinning. There you go. Yeah, someone will pay that. Someone will pay it.
I'm so sorry, guys. Stop. I don't want that mental image.
See, Jay Chan said they'll pay me not to, and that's where the money comes in.
Literally,
no, it's like, hey, for all of you, you don't want me to do it? Patreon right there.
Yeah.
We don't hit this week's goal, I'm doing it. And you know what? I'm gonna somehow make it show up on your computer and your phones at work,
yeah.
And you can't stop it.
You just get somebody to write a virus.
Arc Slaughter. What the hell did I just join?
Welcome to the RTFM show.
No, it's kind of like it's like in every supervillain movie where they take over every screen in the city.
Yeah,
it's just me meat spinning.
No.
Like I said, if you want to see more of this, if you want to see more of this riveting content, twitch.tv/Jace2Cents.
Lex Luthor, more like erect Luthor.
Erect Luthor is going to wreck you.
Can I go to the next FTFA question, please? Yeah.
But that was a good one. You guys ever notice our shows exponentially end like Paul still gave us the one about the folder crumple?
Oh, Jesus.
All right. This one's a little more normal. Tanner says, can you recommend getting secondhand hardware?
Yes.
I am planning on getting my cousin a 3080 off eBay, which I have no problem. But what about other products from a place like eBay? You know why I chose this question? Because if he's willing to get a 3080 off there, why would he be concerned about getting anything else off of there? So I found that to
that's like already a high ticket item for sure. Big ticket item.
So the thing with buying used, you don't know what it's been through. You don't know if it's been taken apart, not pasted back properly. Did they break a wire? You just don't know. Most people do not take their graphics cards and components and stuff apart. They don't.
Yeah.
But you still don't know, like, are they hiding the fact that maybe there's a bent CPU pin? You know, make sure you get photos of. So if I was going to buy something from eBay, if it didn't have at least photos where I could easily see the PCI slot to see the pins, right? If I can't see the CPU socket, again, for if it's LGA to see those pins, or if it's an AMD PGA CPU, can I see the pins on the CPU? Are there any bent? I might be looking for any sort of physical damage. You know, but the thing is, like, a lot of people were like, I would never buy a Mindon card. A lot of data shows that Mindon cards, if they're Mindon quote-unquote properly, there's no degradation to them. But how many people truly Mindon them properly versus those that were just, like, trying to get into Ethereum because they wanted to make some money, but they really were not properly tuning the card. So they're running full speed, full voltage, full load the entire time.
Yeah, because you undervolt because obviously it costs you power. Less. Yeah, it costs you less in electricity. But those guys could have been mining on somewhere where the electricity was free.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you're just like, screw it, send it. Just 100%.
So in one of the video ideas that are actually on my phone here, because the used market is so flooded now, is and you guys can go ahead and kind of like maybe push one in chat if you want me to do this. I want to do basically a little, not a series, but a single video where it takes some time to film. It starts with me basically looking on eBay, looking at the parts, and building a system that I buy off eBay, ordering it, having it come in, and then building it and testing it and comparing it to the data that we know is good to see, like, okay, this 3-generation-old PC, this is how it's performing. This is what it cost me. It all worked. It didn't work. What was the, was there a drawback? Was there anything hiding? Right. Like, I feel like just doing a start-to-end video of buying used and trying to get the best deals. You know what I mean? That's what I want to do that. Because how do you step back?
That's a realistic scenario. Yeah.
How do you step back into that real consumer experience of like, okay, I can't buy new. There's a lot of ones. I can't buy new, but I can afford to buy used, but I'm scared.
You also
I'm
can't
scared
ask
will it
new.
Work? You know, to be honest,
you
the
can't
best
call somebody and then have it be new.
The best time to buy used hardware is right on a generational jump. Because that's when people like that are enthusiasts and are going to buy the new stuff no matter what. That's when they're offloading. And they more than likely took care of their stuff if they're buying the newest stuff again.
Yeah, I got my 980 Ti when the 1080 Ti launched. And I was just like, I got the new 80 Ti, guy. Oh, wait. Oh, I was wrong.
Oops.
But no, I got a great deal on that 980 Ti.
Yeah.
I don't think sub $200 or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's also going to be, if you want to know if somebody, here's a quick way too you can tell if somebody is mined on their cards and they're trying to offload a mining farm. Click on their name on eBay. Look at all their other listings. How many of them are they selling?
Yeah, if they have 10 of the exact same like
postings.
3080.
Now, if you only had like 3 or 4 or whatever, if you were smart, you'd list one at a time. Because if you just put all 4 up, you're going to be flooding the market like anyone else. You're just driving the price down.
Yeah, I already saw a post on Hardware Swap that was like, lot of 10 ASUS like
yeah.
ROG cards. And I'm like, He literally like posted a picture
but
of them in
the
mining rig.
They only want to sell them as a lot. So what average consumer out there wants to buy 10?
Yeah. Especially now.
Yeah.
You gotta hit up the homies like, hey, let's build rigs for a LAN party.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll do that video. Maybe we'll start filming that in between because we have some time coming up in between launches that I might be able to do that. Because right. Like I said, we're going to have to film it, start the section where I'm looking for the parts and ordering them. And then we have to sit on that SD card until they come in and then film the unboxing of all the parts and the inspection and then film the build and then film the benchmarking and be like, okay, here's how the use system went. You know what I mean? But speaking of use, we have used up all of our time on the RTFM show here. The segues are getting good, right?
Yeah,
they're really smooth. Yeah. So, all right, guys. We hope you've enjoyed your week. We hope you guys have a great weekend. Remember, if you want to write us, rtfm@jace2cents.com. You can get your Jace 2 Cents merch. The Dad Bod shirts is our current new shirt. New blank. Super soft. I mean, I've gotten actually a lot of compliments on this blank versus our previous. So, I appreciate that. But you guys can check all that out on jace2cents.com. And remember to check out our previous episodes. All the audio files are up on Spotify, Apple Music, Google, all that. And then all the VODs are obviously right here on YouTube. So with that, I'm out of here. Anything you guys want to say?
Keep the question short.
Yes.
Oh, please. Wait. Look at this on the shirt, though.
Oh. Oh, yeah. And you just lost. Bye.
Wait, no.